Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey here with me, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Excited to jump into today's podcast where we're going to cover what's in the new 2025.38 software update, including some big improvements with FSD 14. And we're also going to cover a few interesting posts from our T3 Facebook group. But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
We're the largest Tesla Tips community in the world with over 288,000 members. So we're continuing to grow. And our community is dedicated to providing real-world tips and tricks to maximize the Tesla ownership experience for not only current Tesla owners, but also for those who are considering purchasing a Tesla. So if you haven't joined our Facebook group, be sure you do. Facebook.com/groups/Tesla Tips. And that URL is on the screen for those watching the video. It's in the description of the podcast if you're listening to this. And just a reminder, we release the very best tips content on our YouTube channel. So be sure that you like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Tesla Tips and Tricks. Spelled out. Those links are also in the description of the video and the podcast.
All right, sounds good. And so before we jump into some of our posts from our Facebook group, Tori, take us through what's included in the new software update, the 2025.38 update. And if you could just start with a reminder for everyone for what those numbers in the software version mean.
Yeah, so the first four numbers, it's pretty obvious to see. It's the year, so 2025 is the year of this update. The next number is 38. That's the week of the year that it was released. So this was released in the 38th week of 2025. And then from there, as they do bug improvements and fixes and they release software, the major bug releases will have a .1, so it could be 2025.38.1. And then from there, the minor bug releases go to even a fourth number. So 2025.38 is the big update. It will stay with those two numbers first for a while, and then we'll see numbers appear as they're doing bug updates after that. But here's what is included in 2025.38. The first thing, and this is for Model S, 3, X, Y, and Cybertruck. And it's only for those who have the AMD Ryzen processor, though. But you now will see buildings and cityscapes in more detail with a 3D view. This is just a cool user experience thing. I don't know that it really provides a lot of value, just aesthetically pleasing. As you're looking at your navigation, you'll see the shapes of the buildings. You'll actually be able to see that in a 3D model. It does require premium connectivity, of course, but something to be on the lookout for if you have a newer Tesla.
This is really cool for people that drive in the city a lot. You know, I think being able to see that, helicopter view, if you will, is pretty trick to, you know, get your bearings about you where, you know, city blocks and where you're at. I think there's some value there above and beyond just looking cool.
Yep, totally agree. The next thing that they've done, and people are going to be so happy about this, is they've made some updates to the dash cam viewer. So a lot of the comments that we've received and seen in the Tesla Tips and Tricks group are people complaining that the dash cam video and Sentry video is very grainy. Well, that was only happening if you were viewing it and downloading it within your mobile app. If you went to the USB drive in the car, it's high quality. It's good to go. But in the app, it was grainy. Well, one of the things that they've done is the Tesla engineers were listening, and now they've made it to where when you're streaming in the mobile dash cam viewer, or if you download from the mobile dash cam viewer, they now stream and download at a higher resolution. And that's going to be really exciting for a lot of people. They also are including street names in the dash cam event details when it is available within the GPS. But that's going to be awesome because if you've saved a few videos and you're going through and you're trying to find the one that was on, you know, Smith Road, you'll now be able to more easily find that and see that. So a couple updates to the dash cam viewer there. This does cover Model S, 3, X, Y, and Cybertruck as well, of course. And one additional update with the side, or having to do with Sentry Mode and dash cam, is this is only the Cybertruck, but all the other models a few updates ago included video from the B-pillar, the side cameras between the front and back door. And that wasn't included for a long time, and it was a big gripe with people. Well, now if you have a Cybertruck, your dash cam and Sentry clips will now include the videos from the side cameras on the B pillar. So that's a cool thing for Cybertruck owners.
Take us through some of the new scroll wheel functions. I'm a little nervous about this because I feel like my scroll wheel already can almost launch the space shuttle, and we're adding two scroll wheel functions. So take us through some of these scroll wheel functions.
Yep. So I've noticed this on the right scroll wheel on my Model X. I can set it to do what I want it to do when I press it in. Well, now on the model, this is all the models. On the left scroll wheel, if you hold it down, press and hold the left scroll wheel, it will open up a menu for you to select what you want it to control. And you can control the bioweapon defense mode. So now you don't have to go into the screen and tap, and you'll go into the air conditioning. Oh, what is that called? Climate control. My goodness, I couldn't think of that term. You have to go into climate control and activate biodefense now in that screen. Well, now people often say that when somebody lets one rip in the car, you know, if one squeaks out there, the bioweapon defense mode is one of the greatest things you can do to get the stench out of the car. And so if that were happening going down the road, instead of going to climate control and turning on bioweapon defense, you can now long hold the left wheel on the steering wheel and go to bioweapon defense and activate it there. You can also mute navigation.
I will not be your cameraman if you choose to do a how-to video on that, Tori. I just want to give you a heads up.
Fair enough. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. We probably won't shoot a video on that one though, right? But you can also mute navigation, and there's a few other things that you can do there. So that's pretty cool. And other than that, there's just some minor updates. Those are the big things that are included in the 2025.38 update, except for the really big thing that people are excited about, which is some enhancements with full self-drive.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited to hear about this. This is like my favorite Tesla feature. So take us through the FSD V14, the new version. What do we got to look forward to, Tori?
Version 14, man, all indicators of people testing this, it's proving to be incredible on the update. This is a huge update. So the very first thing that I do want to cover, other than it actually driving better, is that there's a new user interface on the screen where you can select your speed profile. Just, it's right there. You can scroll and touch it. And that way, if you want to go from hurry mode to standard or chill, you can. And there's actually a new speed profile mode called Sloth. There's a lot of people complaining that whether you have it on hurry, standard, or chill, that it's just driving way too fast. Well, congratulations. The Tesla engineers on the AI team were listening, and they added a sloth mode if you want to put it in grandma mode. No offense to grandmas. I'm a grandpa, and you're a grandpa, so definitely no offense there. But sloth mode and the other modes are supposed to be they've made it to where you can now tell that you're in the different speed profiles that you've selected. So sloth mode is going to hang out on the right lane. It's not going to go, you know, much above the speed limit. Chill mode is going to be a little faster. Standard mode is just kind of your normal driving, and hurry mode is going to left lane, pass cars, drive faster. And this is going to be exciting to see the difference in speed profiles for people who are complaining that, FSD is either driving under the speed limit and I'm trying to get it to go faster, or it's driving too fast and I want it to slow down. There have been big improvements there. Also, another huge improvement is parking at destination is now in this user interface. So you can choose whether you want it to pull up to curbside or whether you want it to park. And if you do park, You can tell it if it's a parking lot, if it's at a charger, if it's going to a parking garage. And man, there have been a lot of challenges with FSD at parking garages, especially at gates, waiting to open and close gates. It doesn't know what to do. It gets confused. And then pulling into a parking garage has been frustrating. The improvements in the parking garage, as well as at your driveway or at a charger in a parking lot, man, it's supposed to be really incredible with version 14. And when you set that parking garage, the goal that the Tesla AI team has had as it's working towards true sentient full self-drive, autonomous driving, is that you can sit in your car when you're sitting in your driveway and you can set the destination and activate full self-drive and never have to touch the steering wheel. That's the goal. I think we all can agree we haven't quite made it to that point yet. Well, version 14 is apparently really, really close. It's working well in parking garages, pulling into houses. Here's another big one. How many posts do we see, Rod, in the Tesla Tips and Tricks group of people who are saying, how do I get the car to pull into my garage? Do I need to put the white tape down? You've seen those, haven't you?
There we go. Yeah, I've seen a lot of those posts, Tori. Pardon me, my internet went out for, it was a little bit glitch there, but I was able to listen and follow along. So yeah, see a lot of posts and exciting to hear about these updates, particularly the parking. I'm surrounded by gated communities around here, and we have transponders, you know, and you pull up with your transponder and the gate just goes up, and that's one of those things. You know, it comes in hot and I'm afraid to like see if it's going to work, because I don't want to run through knock the breakaway gate off. And I also want this thing to just park in my garage for me. So
yeah,
put some tape strips down and let it park for me.
Well, and I should mention that this is a hardware 4. This is available in hardware 4. So if you have hardware 3, you're not going to see the big benefit that you get with the newest hardware cameras, computer system. But parking in the garage is a big thing that apparently it's good. It does a much better job at with version 14. You don't have to put the white tape down and all of that. Also, like, it's hit or miss on mine whether it'll even pull into my driveway. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So apparently that's a big improvement there as well. And last here, is just the overall driving ability. There is a guy named Zach who's early testing on full self-drive, very involved, does a lot of Tesla stuff, and he got behind the wheel. I'm just going to read part of his post on X. He says, 10 drives in with FSD version 14.1, and here are all my thoughts. I'm not going to read all of them because it's a lot. He says, first of all, wow. Zero disengagements or interventions thus far. The confidence and overall human-like driving is next level. The steering inputs are so smooth. Braking inputs are earlier and more linear than they were before. It gives off robo-taxi vibes with how it navigates parking lots, plus how it drives and how quickly it backs into a parking spot. Such a nice experience to ride along with. So I'm not going to go down. He talks about parking garages and driveways and all this other stuff and the braking. He talks about that. But he ends this with the Tesla AI team. That's who does the full self-drive. It's the Tesla AI team. Says they cooked it with this update. It's phenomenal. Huge congrats to them for such an epic release. This is a huge update. I can't wait to drive it more. It's now 5 a.m., so I'm going to attempt to get some sleep, but tons of more driving and videos coming later today as soon as I can. Thanks, everyone, for following along. And, zero interventions and 10 drives. And it sounds like this was hours worth of driving. It wasn't just 5 minute drive. This is hours and hours of driving. And he didn't have to touch the steering wheel once. How incredible is that? So we're getting close. We're getting close to that full autonomy. A couple of other updates that I've read on this new FSD is that it does emergency vehicle handling much better. It does construction zone handling much better. It alerts you if you're in an area like a construction zone where you need to pay attention, it will alert you more to say, hey, just be prepared to take over. And I want to end this before your commentary, Rod, on just ending with Elon has a post here on X. He says, great work by the Tesla AI team. Much more still to come. By version 14.3, your car will feel like it is sentient. And basically what he's saying with sentient is autonomous. And when I look down and read a little bit more, he posted a little bit of a continuation of that and says that there's a lot more Tesla self-driving version 14 improvements still to come. The wide rollout of version 14.1 has begun. 14.2 rolls out in a few weeks. And then 14.3 a few weeks later, depending upon safety. There is so much change that we are carefully confirming each one. So sounds like here within 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to get to 14.3, and it's even more massive improvements over 14.1 with 14.3. So super exciting time to have a Tesla with Hardware 4. And one last note here, Rod. This is so unlike Elon to say that it's a few weeks out and a few weeks out, because normally everything was, what was his famous line is just basically, oh yeah, 2 weeks, it'll be done in 2 weeks. So it sounds like he's slowed his roll a little bit. Maybe he's learned not to overpromise and underdeliver here.
Yeah. That's exciting to hear his stance on that. And I mean, my FSD is pretty doggone awesome. I took my parents to dinner again last night, and you know, there's dumpsters in the street from construction, and right after a hard right turn and a car coming, and man, you know, we went around it, and my dad is just amazed. He is absolutely flabbergasted by how well. So the fact that it's going to continue to improve is super exciting. So
One more thing, Rod, actually, yep. In addition to the emergency vehicles, for police, fire trucks, ambulances, it pulling over and yielding for those, it also has added in navigation and routing into the vision-based neural network for real-time handling of blocked roads and detours. That's something I've always wondered, is how does it know, you know, that there's a road closure, and how is it going to handle that? Well, it is vision-based, and then that's sharing on the network with other cars so that it can quickly update like Waze does, but even better because it's vision-based, not just GPS, oh, cars are stopped, reroute-based. And one last thing here is it is apparently handling road debris way better. I've seen so many FSD video complaints of where there's a ladder or a stick in the road, and it's going to drive right over it if I didn't turn. Well, apparently for tires, tree branches, boxes, it's got improved offsetting for road debris, and they've improved the handling in a lot of other different scenarios of unprotected turns, lane changes, when vehicles cut in, when school buses are stopping. I had a school bus the other day, and I didn't wait to see if it would stop, but I wondered, would this have stopped with that little itty bitty red light, that little red stop sign that comes out? Would it recognize that when I'm going the other way? So apparently they've added so many improvements with version 14. It's really unprecedented.
Yeah. It's funny. All the little things you're mentioning are things that I've noticed, that they're as good as it is, that there are room for improvement. We have a lot of the fronds or whatever they're called that'll blow off and be sitting in the road. And then speed bumps, it's not that great with. So it really seems like, in the spirit of continual improvement, they're going after every little detail, which is cool. Tell us, Tori, you know, I know we've talked about this before. How long will it take for everyone to receive these updates? Because it's not, if you're looking at your car going, wait, I don't have this, that's not how the software rollouts work. It's a process, and it takes time, and it's not all at once.
So according to Teslify, which monitors, it has a big fleet of cars of Teslas where it knows the software version that it's on, this has been rolled out to 2.5% of Tesla vehicles. And so it's literally hundreds of cars right now.
So it's basically like they're essentially in testing with a pilot group right now of the
right. Update. And yeah. if you think about it, that's smart because, and this is right. what they typically do with big updates. Now with minor updates, they unroll it, they roll it out very quickly, but there's two considerations here. One, with the big update, you've got to consider how many little bugs that there are. And so when they roll it out to a small number of people at first, they check and go, oh, hey, we're getting some bug feedback. We need to fix this before we roll it out to millions, right? And so that's very smart of them to do it this way. And it tends to kind of roll out on this bell curve that starts really flat and increases slow. And then it goes up really, really fast because they get some of those minor bugs taken care of. And there's not bugs being reported at a high level, so they roll it out to the masses. The second thing to consider with this is, you know, this software is, it's a lot of data. And so if they were to roll it out to millions of vehicles all at once, it would just overwhelm and cause a bunch of errors with people trying to download it. So they do stage it and stagger it so that it works well for everybody as it becomes available.
Okay. So, well, that makes sense. So, a lot of resources required to go rolling this thing out to all the Teslas out there. So with that, let's jump into a few of the posts from our T3 Facebook group, and not really related. We just happen to be talking about the updates in FSD. But our first post comes from Glenn asking, there's a screen picture of premium connectivity. Do we need to purchase this?
There are
408 comments. There are a lot of people have an opinion.
Yeah, there were some funny people. You know, when people are being too sarcastic, we'll remove those comments and give a warning. But sometimes it's just fun when people say this. And, you know, somebody commented and said, I don't have their name in the post here, but I just thought it was funny. It said, am I supposed to help you pay for this?
I was assuming he was talking about him and his significant other.
He was, yeah, obviously. And actually somebody replied to the comment and said that, yeah, I'm sure he's talking about like him and his family, right? So he said, I was just trying to get a smile out of people. And that's, by the way, if you're trying to just get a smile out of people and it's in good fun, we'll leave those kind of comments. But if it's too sarcastic or even maybe bordering on confusing, we remove it and give a warning there. But so premium connectivity, what is this? So every Tesla has standard connectivity, meaning that you are connected to Tesla's internet network, but it's only good for navigation. So you can chart a course and it will update and take you to the place that you want to go. That's what every Tesla gets with standard connectivity. If you update to or upgrade to premium connectivity, it's $9.99 a month or $100 for the year. In my opinion, and probably 95% of Tesla owners' opinion based on these comments and based on everybody that I know, it is worth it. What you get additionally is you get live traffic visualization. So the street will be green at intersections, yellow or red, and that'll tell you if there is a delay, if you're going to have to sit and wait. So that's your live traffic visualization. It gives you satellite view maps. So if you want to put on GPS where you're actually seeing satellite views of where you're driving, you can do that. It includes video streaming, and that's worth it for most people. You know, sitting in the car, you don't have to connect it to your phone for Wi-Fi. You can actually put it on theater mode and go into YouTube or another streaming service, and you can watch TV sitting in the car. It includes karaoke. For my daughter and I, this would be worth $100 a year, because we are constantly singing the duet songs, especially a lot of Disney songs. Yes, I'm not dad. With karaoke, basically karaoke shows the screens like karaoke, but it's got hundreds and hundreds or thousands of songs that you can do karaoke with in the car, karaoke. Music streaming, you don't have to connect for Spotify or Apple Music. The car has it on. And it's not even based on the connection with your phone. It's literally logged into your Spotify account. I love that. Internet browser, that's not used very much. And then this one's big, Sentry Mode, for live camera and connecting to download on the mobile app to see Sentry Modes and dash cam stuff, you have to have premium connectivity to see that or be connected to Wi-Fi. So it's okay if you pull up to your house, you would have access to Sentry Mode and dash cam videos with your mobile app. But if you're parked in a parking lot somewhere, you wouldn't because it's not connected to the internet. And when I say you would have it at your house, that's if you've connected to Wi-Fi at your house. But yeah, definitely worth it. You can make the judgment call yourself, but in my opinion, it's worth $100 a year.
Yeah, and for those who can't see the graphic, it shows a little green check mark beside every feature that you get. And again, as Tori said, with over 400 comments of real Tesla owners, 95% of the people who commented have said, absolutely, yes, it's worth $100 or $10 a month. So that is that. Let's move on to our next post. First time I got this, is this something new from a recent update? I wasn't speeding. It was coming to a stop behind another car and just started warning and looked like the hazard lights came on normally when in autopilot. If it's following another car and the car in front of me comes to a stop, Tesla just stops fine. The grammar's a little choppy on this one, Tori, so kind of summarize that.
Yeah, so basically on the screen. Yeah, Lewis is saying, hey, I've never seen this. Is it something new from an update? And what's on the screen? He's got a picture. It says autopilot warning. Telemetry from your vehicle indicates improper use of auto steer. Keep your hands on the wheel and remain attentive at all times. This feature will no longer operate after 4 more autopilot strikeouts. Well, Lewis, I have news for you. This isn't from a recent update. This is not from just stopping behind a car. Basically, the car determined that you weren't paying close enough attention, and it turned off autopilot for the remainder of that drive and gave you a warning. It's called a strikeout. You struck out, and if you have 4 more of these, autopilot will stop working for, I believe they've lowered it from 7 days to 3 days that it stops working, or 4 days. So this is normal and customary. It wasn't anything that happened with your hazard lights or from coming to a stop. It basically was, the screen was probably glowing with the white around the outline, or the steering wheel little logo was showing up in the car, and it was telling you that it needed force feedback on the steering wheel so that you would pay attention, and you didn't. And therefore, when it determined that you weren't paying attention, this alert showed up. So nothing to be too concerned about. When you put the vehicle in park and then back in drive, it actually will still resume working with your autopilot auto steer. But if you do it 4 more times within the week, it will stop working. The auto steer will stop working for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. And we've talked about this, but you know, if you're a hat wearer, you know, sunglasses, sometimes I know my hat can cause me to get barked at from time to time when I pull it down over my eyes. So some other things to be aware of there as well. So in my Model 3 for about 45 minutes listening to music, scroll button and voice command button are responsive, but using them hasn't turned the screen back on, and tapping the screen hasn't worked either. Opening and closing the door isn't fixing the issue. Neither is pushing on the brake. I'm currently unable to put the car in reverse or drive. I'm kind of freaking out. New to this car and I don't know what to do. Can someone please help?
What's happened here is Malaysia is stuck in the parking lot of an O'Reilly. She was sitting probably maybe waiting on somebody in O'Reilly Auto Parts, or just sitting waiting for an appointment, who knows. But when you sit in your car for long enough, it will turn off on you, right? It does turn the car off because it's some point it's going to save the battery. Unless you put keep on or camp mode, then it'll stay on forever until basically the battery gets too low. But something happened with their car. This is just a software glitch, and this is common in every kind of software, every kind of electric device. You have to remember, these things are rolling computers. And in the same way that you have to restart your phone when it's acting up, or restart a computer when you haven't done it in a while, restarting a printer will fix a connection issue with the printer. It's the same thing with the Tesla. And what was her solve, and this actually did, she did solve this problem, was just resetting the car. The way that you reset or restart a Tesla is you hold down both of the scroll wheels on the steering wheel for 5 to 10 seconds. The Tesla logo will appear, you let go, and that'll restart the car and it'll start working. So this is just a little glitch that restarting the car solved this. And the reason that we wanted to include this one is just not only is it good for a new Tesla owner who might be concerned if this were to happen to them. And by the way, the restart takes a couple of minutes. It's fast. But if you ever have this where something isn't working in the car correctly, or something that you don't think it shouldn't be doing, it is doing, or the screen goes black and won't turn on, that's when you restart the car. So this was a good one to cover. Just a reminder, restarting the car fixes 67.3% of all ailments. And with that percentage, I do want to remind people that 82.7% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Yeah, Tori always gets me on the, have you tried restarting? And of course I haven't, and it always fixes it. So good stuff. Well, Tori, that was fun to go through the software update and learn about these new FSD features that are going to be coming out, and looking forward to those things hitting our vehicles here in the near future. So anything else before we wrap it up today?
Hopefully sooner rather than later. I'm so excited about version 14 FSD. It's going to be awesome. And only other note is just please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, that link is on the screen below, and look forward to seeing you guys in the future.
All right, sounds good. For Tori Hornsby, this is Rod Stuckey, and we'll see you on the next episode.